direct and close prayer. We can conclude the gospel meeting with Brother Ross Trickett. He spoke on several things concerning problems that the church faced today. With that, I put some thoughts of, we know that at one time, the Church of Christ grew faster than any denomination here in this land. That it's referred to that the members of the church at that time were walking Bibles. That's not true today. We're not growing as we once did, and there's reasons behind that, and Ross pointed out some of those things. But there's always been a danger of members of the church going back into the world or back into sin. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, take heed lest you fall. So we have warnings as individuals, not so much as a collective, but warnings to individuals that what we are to do. And a lot of the Bible, the scriptures face upon the responsibility of individuals, not so much upon a collective. Even though directions are given to the collective, most of it refers to my responsibility as an individual. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, Peter says that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. That's as an individual. Sometimes we focus on things we think that are important, but really they are not in our lives. Why does some always attend and participate in a worship service while others do not attend as faithful as they should as others, but you do not participate? I don't know of any congregation that does not have this problem as far as attendance, participation. A lot of times the work in the local is left to certain individuals when it's a collective group to do that work. We must understand being the kingdom of God requires us to be active. He was not established to be idle when you come to the collective or to worship. Christ understood this early in his life in Luke 2 and verse 49 when he says, do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? That's our job today as children of God. We must be about our Father's business. There's much misunderstanding about the local church coming together. When we come together upon the first day of the week, this does not fix our lives until the next time we come together. It's not a once-week cure. When we leave here, we're to go about our life as individual members of the kingdom. So coming together does not fix all my problems. The universal church functions through individuals. The local church congregation functions through each individual in the local vicinity, like we have here in London. Again, the purpose and function of the local congregation, it's God's provision for individual Christians to work together. But we are limited in what we do together. We may engage as a group in edification, evangelism, benevolence to the needy saints. These are the only fields that as a group we participate in. We do not engage in a collective action in any other way except these three. All other functions that are required of a Christian in the kingdom comes under individual functions. Something I myself am required to do. So what happens, or is happening to the churches of Christ in America today? I can remember one time there were several around these counties here. Small, but there were several. Most of you can remember who are older. That some have gone the way of denominations and what they teach and what they practice. Some no longer exist. The church here in London had a solid foundation through preachers like Brother Wendell Weiser, Brother Alvin Holt, Billy Bowen, those who came, man sound in doctrine that laid that foundation. Remind of Paul's words, I have planted, others have watered. We had a good foundation. This church exists today because of that. Would it continue to exist, but we still have people who are planting and people who are watering. And the only way that you're going to do that is through growth. If you yourself are grounded in truth. And if not, this church one day will cease to exist like so many others have. And so we had that, and we were blessed with that. We had people like Ross who came, and other sound preachers who came, and kept laying this word, this solid foundation to us, that we exist today. We are commanded to assemble upon the first day of the week. For what purpose? To remember the Lord's death and to give. And this is the only two commands that can be observed this day. The Lord's Supper and our giving. We're told upon the first day of the week to give. And Paul in Acts 20 verse 7, upon the first day of the week, assembled with his disciples to take the Lord's Supper. And Paul preached to them. But preaching is not confined to the first day of the week. We understand they came together, they sang for the purpose of teaching, admonishing one another. Colossians 3 and verse 16. But singing is not confined to the first day of the week. It's something I can do as an individual during the week. Or me and my family can do. Or me and my friends can do who are Christians can do. It's not something that the only time I do this is on the first day of the week. There's always going to be a need for encouragement. At some point, you must be able to give encouragement. If you do not know how to give encouragement or what God's Word teaches that we are to teach for encouragement, then we're lacking in our daily studies. But you cannot spend all your time doing this. You ought to give encouragement, but you have to make preparation in order to be able to give encouragement. Paul says in Romans 15, verse 14, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. So how do you give encouragement or admonish? You must have knowledge. And so it's just that personal growth that takes place, should be taking place outside of this assembly. I don't need to know what Ray knows. I need to know what I need to know. Or what Mark knows, or Larry knows, or others. I need to know personally myself. If the only thing I hear from the Scriptures is when they preach or when they teach, it profits me nothing. This is an individual responsibility that I must do. That I'm able to fulfill those commands as an individual, to preach the gospel to the world, to admonish my brothers and sisters in Christ, to teach my family, that they may know. And again, development of personal growth does not take place in the assembly. In our scripture reading, Paul said that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. How, Paul? Holy, acceptable to God. How's this done? Paul says it's by the renewing of your mind. A renewed mind is not developed in the assembly. When you come to the assembly, that does not make you holy or your sacrifice acceptable. Just because you come to an assembly. You come to the assembly as a living sacrifice. How are you a living sacrifice? You've renewed your mind. And that way, when we come as individuals to this assembly, we are holy, and our sacrifice that we give this day would be acceptable. And again, this is done by personal growth. If being holy and growth is not important to you during the week, it will not be when the congregation comes together. It's just not a light you're going to turn on and off. It must be 7 days, 24 hours a day in our lives. Participation, teaching classes, prayer, leading singing will not be engaged in because it's something you don't practice during the week. It's almost as if we do it here, then during the week we just turn all this off until the next fix comes about next Lord's Day. But it's something we do every day. I sing, I pray, I encourage. When you look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, Paul there in persecuting the church talks about that the disciples or the Christians went everywhere as individuals, not as a collective, preaching the gospel. Verse 5 says, then Philip went down. Individuals, the church, individuals that make the universal church up. That's their task, that's their job, is to preach. If they're going to preach, there must be knowledge of preaching. That you know you have the Word of God correctly. You need to remember you are added to the kingdom as an individual. The blood of Christ puts you in the kingdom. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. On this basis, we are added to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. We are kept in the kingdom by His words. 1 Peter 1 and verse 5, we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. And being kept by the power demands that we must know God's commandments. Again, personal growth. We seem to have come to a conclusion that we cannot function without a group. We cannot do anything until the assembly comes together. I cannot pray by myself. I cannot study by myself. I cannot teach by myself. I cannot sing by myself. But yet you obey the gospel by yourself. No one else had a part in that. My relationship with God is a personal relationship. It's not based upon a group relationship. It's a personal relationship that I have with my God, that you have with your God. It's not based upon the only relationship we can have with our God is when we come together. But it's each day. And I must serve God with a pure heart and do all the things He has told me to do as an individual. Although I observe those things that are done upon the first day of the week as a collective, my primary thing is the individual work that I do that prepares me to be able to function in a collective and do the things necessary for your edification. That's each one of us' job. You're to be an edification, to edify one another through teaching, through singing, whatever it may be. Three-fourths or more of what I do in the kingdom of God is as an individual. Again, it's not as a collective. We spend very little time together in this sense that we're in this morning. Most of the time we face the world by ourselves. And the Church of Christ going on in the future is going to depend upon what we're teaching to those we come in contact with, what kind of foundation we are laying with our kids. If they see that it's not important in our lives, more likely it's not going to be in their lives. And so when we're gone, that which once existed will no longer exist. And there's a danger there. When I fail to do this as an individual, I cripple the collective because I bring nothing to the plate. I just come and say it as if I'm a visitor watching a movie. A lot of times I may not know what they're saying because my knowledge cannot know whether truth is being taught or error is being taught. Because I've not prepared myself for that. I place burdens on others that should be mine. After the congregation separates, that particular function ceases for the day. But the work of the kingdom does not cease. It's something when I leave here, I'm back as an individual in the kingdom of God, going about what I have been told to do by my king in that kingdom. The power of the kingdom is in the individual. It's not in the collective. We need to keep that in mind. Just because we come together as a collective does not make the kingdom stronger. It's individuals in growth that makes the kingdom stronger. And therefore, when we come together, the collective will be stronger. What keeps fellowships, halls, instrumental music, ball teams, and so forth out of our midst? At one time, they didn't exist in the Church of Christ. Today, they do. What happened? You say, I would never allow that. I submit to you that history proves you wrong. Just look around. I have a book that talks about the God's pattern. It talks about the individuals who once were strong gospel preachers. Now are preaching in denominations. And accepting what the denominations teach. What's happened to individuals? Are there a danger here? You better believe it. Satan never rests. If you think Satan will not attack this congregation, you're sadly mistaken. He'll do it through the individual's lack of knowledge and the power that he has. It's a warning that we should be about our Father's business. If you're not doing something today, prepare for those battles. In other words, growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when they come, you will be powerless to defend the truth because you don't know the truth. That's the only armor that we have in this life, according to Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, is the armor that we are to put on. The old saying, we'll be trying to close the gate after the cat's already out because we do not prepare ourselves. Why will you be perilous? My thought is, because the spirit of the collective is about you, or us. This is all we focus upon, is the collective. And we forget about our work as an individual. And when those of the collective who are capable of fighting those battles are now gone, who will fight them if we've not prepared ourselves for that day of battle? And therefore you see churches of Christ disappearing, denominations taking over. The growth is going fast as you look around this town. The different ones, denominations that have been established. So denominations, the appeals of the flesh. Even members of the church are appealing to the flesh. We have them around us now. What's happened to those sound doctrines that was once taught in these churches of Christ? Who will fight those battles? Who will restrain them? That's our job as individuals, to teach our children, that we ground our children and grandchildren in soundness of doctrine, that they carry on these battles after we're gone. Again, in closing, how can I grow that I will not be a burden to the collective? Do you think you can be a burden to the collective? Absolutely. Just dwell upon that for how can you be a burden to the collective here? All of us are given the same commands in our life as Christians. We are to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. What about if you do not grow? Can you be a burden to the collective? One, I cannot be a burden to the collective by being benevolent. Again, I have a responsibility to lay by in store upon the first day of the week, according to Paul's directions to 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. This is part of my collective responsibility. The money I put in this treasury is part of my collective for edification, preaching, and benevolence. The only three things that you and I have as a collective to do. That's all that's involved between us this morning here, being here. This is what the treasury is to be spent on. But we have come to the mindset, if I do this, it relieves me from all other benevolent acts. It eases my conscience. We tell ourselves, well, I'm helping, I give upon the first day of the week. Great, that's your responsibility. But it's gone for the edification, benevolence, and helping the needy saints. It does not relieve you from every other responsibility as an individual. Paul says in Galatians 6 and verse 10, let us do good to all men. That's me individually. James 1 and verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit in order to help orphans and widows in their trouble. Because Ray goes and visits during the week, that don't relieve me of my responsibility. It's each individual. We have individuals in nursing homes that we enjoy company. How often, as individuals here, as people went and seen Sister Alba, Sister Eula, you're a burden to the collective because that's your individual responsibility. 1 Timothy 5, verse 4, if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them repay their parents, for this is acceptable and good before God. It's not my responsibility to care for Mark's kids or his mine. I'm to care for mine. I'm not to burden him with that. It's not left up to anyone else. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his own, that's my responsibility. For my children, those around me. Personal responsibility that I have, do not burden the collective. I don't allow the collector to teach my children and grandchildren. That's my job. But yet sometimes that's all the teaching that children get. It's when they come together in the classroom. We don't even have enough teachers here to teach at times. Why? The burden is placed upon a few. But it should be upon the congregation as a whole. Everyone in here should have knowledge to be able to teach a class to children. But sometimes we're stressed even for class teachers, classroom teachers, which will tell me that you're not doing much during the week. This personal stuff is not under the oversight of elders. It's my responsibility. The elders has nothing to do with me as an individual in the kingdom. Social activities. Get-togethers. We understand Acts chapter 2, 46 and 47. The early church came together. The houses. They met. They done stuff. A lot of members here have get-togethers. They have singing and talking and Bible studies. But they continue with one accord, break their bread from house to house. This is not under the elders' oversight. I can have groups of members here for Bible studies at the house. Or singing or praying or whatever, just get-togethers. Romans 12, verse 13, giving hospitality. I'm to entertain. Hebrews 13, verse 2 says, do not forget to entertain strangers. That's my responsibility. How often do you invite members over to get to know them better? Because the only time you see them and having dealings with them is when we're here in this local collective. You get to understand a person better a lot of times in one-on-one conversations other than speaking to them, and while you're here, then you don't see them for some time. Personal responsibilities I have that I do not burden the church. Teaching or education, we made reference to this before. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, fathers, bring your children up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. This is not under the elders' oversight. That's me as a father or as a grandfather. If we teach our children and others in our home, classroom teachings would not be lacking. Why don't we have enough teachers? We're not teaching anywhere else. Why would we teach here? What do you bring to the table when the collective comes together? Have I prepared myself to be an asset to this collective from the first day of the week or not? My thoughts, whether you agree, you may ask or not. Your personal growth determines what your answer will be. Do you have something to give? Do you participate in this? You hear this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel. God, the great God of heaven, has given you another opportunity to make your life right with Him. We know that all men have sinned. They are separated from their God. God sent His Son that we may be reconciled to Him. His blood was shed upon the cross. We come in contact with that blood through baptism. We're burnt with Him in baptism, that we may walk in newness of life. That's what Peter told those on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Have you done that? Each day brings us closer to judgment. Each day brings us closer to death. When judgment comes, what words will you hear? Well done or depart? You as an individual are going to make that decision. It's not left up to the collective. We'll not stand before God as a collective. We'll stand before an individual. What I've done as an individual in the kingdom of heaven. Subject to the gospel call, we invite you to come together. We stand and sing.